Our study in Romans again. We're in chapter 14 of 16 chapters, and it's been a great journey for me. I hope it's been a great journey for you. Unwrapping the gospel. Since the beginning of chapter 12, Paul's been talking about he moved from kind of that theology to kind of practical application, Christian lifestyle. That needs to be present in the character of believers. And with Romans 14, he kind of goes from a general idea in principles of, you know, loving, of how we walk out government, to some specifics, some more specifics about what issues that a Christian faces in their life as believers get to practice their faith. And it's one of those kind of things that you get little glimpses into issues that the church in Rome had clear back 2,000 years ago. Because guess what? We have issues today. They had issues back then. In some ways, the principles are similar, but maybe the circumstances are a little different. But look with me as we begin to read in Romans 14, begin with verse 1. Accept the one whose faith is weak without quarreling over disputable matters. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another, whose faith is weak, eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not, and the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does. For God has accepted them. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master, servants stand or fall, and they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. God's truth, you talk about, you know, we'll look at that word, disputable matters. But in looking at God's word is undisputable. God's word is constant. It's dependable. It's why we take time and encourage people. I got a reading card to read it, to soak it up, to read it every day. It's healing. It's like therapy for your soul and your mind to be reminded of God's word, to understand. Look at those deeper things of who he is. But the application of God's truth is how we exercise our faith, our walk with God. We understand something, just like he said, I love you, I want to marry you. Now you exercise it by taking them on dates, hopefully. You know, or I want to get a raise. I believe that I am capable of doing that next level. You show yourself by applying yourself to what you see is true. God's word is something that we get to apply our understanding of who we are to, our application of faith. And Paul kind of says something interesting here. Is he says that there's a difference in people's faith. There's people that have a strong faith, and they apply God's truth in different ways, in bigger ways than people whose faith is weak. What are disputable matters? What are disputable matters? Things that there is a question about. Disputable matters are things that are neither commanded nor prohibited in the Bible. They're neither commanded nor prohibited in the Bible. That's what Paul's focusing in on. And it's an issue that we have today as well as what they have then. As we unpack just what Paul's talking about. Like someone, as he gives an example, who eats only vegetables versus somebody who has no problem eating meat and vegetables. And later on, Paul even talks about wine. It's you think about, okay, you guys remember Daniel, right? The youth, the young guys that got taken to Babylon. How did they set themselves apart? They didn't eat the king's food. They just ate vegetables and didn't have his wine or anything. They kept it simple. They didn't want to be impure about having their bodies tainted with what the king was doing. And they did it out of faith. They believed that this is what God would have us do to keep us pure. We're here in a foreign country, and we're going to do what they say. We're going to be the best leaders and the best managers that we can be, but we're not going to adopt our customs because we believe this is what God called us to. And And as there's lots of things that you can think of that besides food. I don't know about you, but there's a few vegetarians, right? Vegans, you know, we can talk about our attitude. A vegan, if they've crossed over to the other side, how do they treat people who eat meat? They're like, oh, you're putting that stuff in your body. What kind of person are you? And those of us, I just gave it away. Those of us on the other side are going, are you kidding me? You're going to give up a good hamburger or steak for vegetables? You know, it's like, well, Jesus, you don't have the full gospel if you think that you can't eat all that stuff. And we're talking about, you know, it's like, haven't you heard Peter's testimony that God makes it all clean? That you get to eat anything you want and God has cleansed it? Don't you know that? What's wrong with you? Don't you trust God to clean everything? You know, and today we talk about, you know, watching TV or movies or what you watch. Or are you a King James Bible church? Or do you use those other versions? We have those issues today. Drinking alcohol or mowing the lawn on Sunday. All these kind of things, we still have them. Do you realize those things I just mentioned are disputable matters? God doesn't say, don't do this or do this. And yet we judge people, don't we? We judge people for doing those things that God doesn't say yes or no to. And that's exactly what Paul wants to talk about. He wants to identify that faith is the common denominator in every single believer. We get to come with our faith. It's how we get saved, right? Some people's faith is stronger than others, and some people's faith is weaker than others. Paul says, man, don't look down on people's faith, what they do or what they don't do. And we're talking about disputable matters here, things that the Bible doesn't prohibit, the things that the Bible doesn't command us to do. We've heard people, a common saying is like, don't judge me, right? Don't judge me. And people think Christians, you know, they're just so judgmental. Well, there's two different aspects here, just to kind of bring clarification. We're not talking about sin. Christians are called to judge sin. Just like when your little son or daughter comes up and lies to you, you deal with it. You say, we don't lie in our family. We tell the truth. Or you don't look in mommy's purse and take that money out of it. We deal with it. And just like your friend maybe who's stealing from your company or telling you to put something on their time card because they're getting there late that day. You can say, hey, that's stealing. That's stealing. I'm not going to steal. Those are the kind of things God calls us to judge. But the kind of things that Paul's talking about are things that are exercises of our faith, application of our faith, that we are not to judge people. There's two reasons that Paul tells us to accept one another's faith. First is God accepts them. What people are doing is already acceptable to God. Because it's with faith that we come to salvation. And God sees that faith. Believing in what you can't see, believing in Jesus Christ as our Savior, that's why we get saved. He doesn't say, man, make sure that you go to church every Sunday. He does say, don't neglect the fellowship of believers. Which church is a time that we get to come to worship, but he doesn't say that you can't go camping, that you can't spend time with your family. Those kind of things that we think that the Bible says is and doesn't really are our own personal application of our faith. And we have a tendency to put our application of faith on other people because we've worked through it and we're like, we're so convicted. We're like, I'm a Christian and this is what I got to do. And we're so good at saying and walking it out for ourselves. But the problem is when we start spreading and say, wow, this is what you should be doing. If you were a real Christian, you would be doing this too. And that's not right. Paul's saying, we have all been saved by grace. We have all been saved by faith. The second reason that Paul gives is that we need to accept everybody's faith is that God is the judge, not you. It ain't any of your business what other people do and how they walk out their faith. Judging people's faith is not your responsibility. It's not my responsibility. They are God's servants and not yours. Wait, Paul says, he says, to their own master, servants stand or fall, and they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. It's by faith that we're saved. It's not by what we do. That's what saves us. And again, we're not talking about sin, but we're just talking about how we exercise our faith. That we want to be sensitive to people who exercise their faith differently than ours. And I think, you know, just if the church had read this chapter and taken it to heart, I don't think we would have half the denominations we do. Because denominations sometimes are made up out of disputable matters, things that the Bible doesn't say to do. And that includes, and I'll just jump out of here, speaking in tongues. I believe the Bible teaches that we can speak in tongues and we have that gift. But there's no place says that you're not a Christian unless you speak in tongues. Or you're more spiritual if you speak in tongues. And yet we have whole denominations. Man, you're not saved unless you speak in tongues. Those are disputable matters. Those are things that you get to exercise your faith over. Those are things you get to walk in for yourself as you discover who God is. God can handle their situation no matter how poor they are in their faith compared to your wonderful faith. Right? We're always thinking, man, people could be like me. It's like, man, I'm glad we're not like you. I'm glad people aren't like me. We each have our faith. And we each have our gifts and strengths. And that's what makes up the body of Christ, is that there's all different kinds of people. And Paul's encouraging, said, man, don't let these quarrels mess you up about these disputable matters. We are all servants of the same God. We all come to faith in the same Jesus Christ. Let's go on with verse 5. One person considers one day more sacred than the other. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Verse 6, whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, for they give thanks to God. And whoever abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this is the very reason Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. Our VBS sign is a little bit in the way of the screen. Well, we can work around that. We can work around that. With the expansion of Christianity among the Gentiles, and with the birth of the church, the Sabbath became an issue. What day of the week do we go to church? The Sabbath, or Saturday, the seventh day of the week, or the first day of the week, Sunday, which John calls the Lord's Day, which was the day that the church came together to meet to celebrate the resurrection. Keeping the Mosaic law could not be the basis for salvation. But there was a choice. Colossians 2:16, Paul addresses this issue. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, exactly what we're talking about, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. That those issues, there was some freedom. With Jesus Christ came the fulfillment of the law. He was the one who accomplished it. The challenge with disputable matters is when there's a conviction, you can argue both sides. Have you ever been in that situation where you realize if you thought this was important, you could argue this side of a situation. If you thought this was more important, you can argue this side of the situation. Those are what they call, right, disputable matters. There's a dispute. It's not clear. But yet we in our pride, in our own immaturity of our faith, will tell people, man, you're wrong. If you don't do it this way, you're wrong. And the Bible doesn't say that. They're exercising their faith. They're exercising what they believe is right. Two keys that Paul points out for choices from faith, which, by the way, is what I called this. This chapter 14, choices from faith. I was going to put choices of faith. Then it sounded kind of funny to me, like there's a bunch of choices, because we know there's a lot of faiths in the world. You know, but choices that come out are birthed out and motivated by our faith that we get to. The first one is know what you do and why you do. Each of them, what, should be fully convinced in their own mind. Be confident of the faith behind what you do. Obviously, it's you need to decide for yourself what's important to you. You need to decide why you do what you do. You know, for me, I grew up, and it just part of it, we'll talk a little bit about, and Paul's sensitivities to people is we all have different experiences. You know, for me, because I'm a little older than our younger generation, I have a problem because I grew up in a family that didn't, my dad in a Christian home, we didn't work on Sunday. And so I have a problem mowing the lawn on Sunday, so I don't. You know, part of it is, I realize it's my background, how I grew up. It's like, it's weird. My dad grew up as a Christian, and Christians didn't play with playing cards. And you're thinking, what? And I played with the old guy, retired guy over the fence, and we played cribbage. He taught me how to play cribbage. And he was moving, and he said, hey, you want this cribbage board and some cards? He said, ask your dad. Somehow he knew it could be an issue. I asked my dad, and you know what my dad said? He said, no. And it was, by the way, kids help us grow through our faith, because later on, we could have cards. I was like, Dad, you know, what's the deal? Your faith is like going down the toilet here. You're allowing cards in our house now? It's like, it's because he grew up with, man, you don't go to movies. Although he had a neighbor who owned the movie house, and he was friends with his son, and they could go watch movies anytime they wanted for free. He wouldn't go because he was convicted in his faith that that wasn't a representation of what he felt like God wanted him to be. So we have to be sensitive. And for me, growing up in that kind of family, I play on Sunday, but I don't mow my lawn on Sunday. Does it say that in the Bible anywhere? Thou shalt not mow the lawn on Sunday. No, it doesn't say that anywhere. But I know I struggle with that, just like maybe some of you, those things that you think are like standard or the way Christians should live, that you put it on other people. And it's important that all of us look and realize, what does the Bible say? And Paul goes on, we'll get a little deeper in this, but know what you do and why you do it. And so for me, I'm like, you know what? God has given me all the time I need to do what I need to do. And I need it. There's a reason why he gave the Sabbath. It was for man's benefit. And I know the benefit of relaxing and not working on a day. My soul gets refreshed, you know, I know that when I have a busy Sunday outside of church, that when Monday comes or the week comes, I'm depleted. And so for me, it's a stewardship of the time God's given me. And I push really hard to get all my work around the house done before Sunday. And that way Sunday, I'm released, because I'm an OCD guy. I'm driven. If I don't settle that in my heart, I will feel guilty not working. I know that sounds sick. Everybody can say, Pastor, you're sick. You know, but it's just one of those kind of things that it's part of my faith. Says I've got to do this for the own health of my soul. But I have to be careful that I don't put that that criteria and that filter on anybody else, because you get to walk out your faith. You get to decide what's good. The second aspect regarding the choice you make is that in any choice you make, know that you already belong to the Lord. Remember that you're living for the Lord and not for yourself. Though no matter what you choose to do, God still loves you. You're already accepted by God. So whether I choose to mow my lawn or not on Sunday doesn't make God love me more or less. Whether you drink alcohol or not doesn't make you a better Christian or a poorer Christian, or that God loves you more or loves you less. The Bible says don't be drunk, right? But it doesn't say don't drink alcohol. In fact, you see the opposite. Not drink alcohol, but you see there was alcohol present. But don't be drunk. We need to realize that we don't want to get derailed from God's mission and purpose by things that aren't commanded. Because they can now those things that we come up with as being representative of being a Christian, we will put that filter over our relationships and estrange them as like, I can't be very good friends with you because you do that thing that you do. And I don't do that. And because real Christians wouldn't do that, or real Christians would do. Really, that's sin. Because we are judging somebody for something that's not our business. And not only that, it is not sin. They are responsible to the Lord and the Lord alone. Let's go on with verse 10. You then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Or why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, as Paul quotes in Isaiah, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me. Every tongue will acknowledge God. So then, each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. We're talking about that judgment that we have. And Paul says, man, you have no business. Because you're judging, guess who's going to be judged? You are. You're going to be judged because it's both ways. You have people who maybe have a strong faith. Because Paul does identify. He says people who can eat anything, he says he identifies with that. He says those are the people with a strong faith. And he says you don't mistreat and you don't make an issue with those people who think that what you're doing is not right. But he also, it's a voice to the people who are weak. And they're saying, I can't do that. And I think you're not a very good Christian. I don't think you love the Lord if you do what I'm not doing. It's both ways. And what Paul is reminding us that all of us are going to be judged by God's standards, not our standards. Everyone will give an account for how they treated others. We are all under the same curse and blessing. We're equally in need of a Savior. Every single one of us. No matter how much you've grown, there will always be a huge gap between God's righteousness and who you are. And to think that you're better than somebody else because of what you do or you don't do is not the gospel. It doesn't acknowledge that any of us have salvation. It's only by faith. Application is what we do. And really, you could say application, our faith, is works. What does it say? You're saved by grace, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Not built on what you do or don't do as the application of your faith. It's important, for sure. Because we know James talks about, man, you show me your faith, I'll show you my faith by what I do. They are related, but one is not the measure of God's acceptance. One's not the measure of the spirituality. There's a saying that says, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. You know, then that's where we got to be. We got to remember that we all come and say, man, Jesus, if it wasn't for you, I would be hopeless. I would be on death row. And every single person who comes and puts their faith in Jesus Christ is right there next to you, on their knees. Let's go on with verse 13. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of your brother or sister. I am convinced, being fully persuaded in the Lord Jesus, that nothing is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for that person it is unclean. If your brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not, by your eating, destroy someone from whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what you know as good to be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. It's interesting that he calls people of strong faith are people that are able to do things. What he says in this section here is he says, really, the strong people are people that are able to put aside their freedom for what? For the benefit of their brother or sister. They have the right. They know they have the right. They know God's made all things clean. But they choose to do things so that they don't trip up their brother and sister, which really Paul says, that's acting in love. It's not saying, hey, I'm right, man, get over it. In fact, Paul challenges us in this next section to keep it to ourselves. We are to exercise love and care for the faith of weaker believers by not putting any stumbling block. And really, in the New Testament, that stumbling block or obstacles refers to the idea of a trap. And in the New Testament, that trap has to do with making someone spiritually fail. So Paul says, man, don't do things that leads to somebody's spiritual failure. And you're thinking, man, if that's all it takes, well, what a hard-hearted way to look at that. If that's all that it takes, you should be that much more gentle. If you really are the stronger person of faith, you should take the time to say, man, I don't want to trip you up. In fact, we should just be silent on the matter. I remember talking about kids, and you can have a four-year-old and say to you, where do babies come from? And you're thinking, oh man, I gotta tell my four-year-old about the birds and the bees. And you like get out the book with pictures, and you're like ready to go to. Is that what they need to hear? No, they need to say, comes from the stork. Oh no, wait, it comes from mommy's tummy. God gives a gift of babies. They're like, oh okay. You know, Susie down the street is gonna have a little sister. Oh, that's so. Where do they come from? Well, her mommy's tummy is going to get big. You know, it's appropriate. You have to look at where they are, and that's the answer you give. You don't lie. You don't say the stork brings them, or I don't know, or go ask your dad, or go ask your mom. You tell them the truth, but you tell them in a way that's where they are. That's where their maturity level is. Let God is able to save everybody. Everybody, no matter their understanding. We are all brothers and sisters, adopted into the same family. And Paul says, I am convinced, being fully persuaded in the Lord Jesus, that nothing is unclean in itself. But yet he won't do it, because if it messes with somebody's faith. When we make a choice to take care of the faith of our brothers and sisters, we're reflecting God's righteousness. I love this. We are reflecting God's kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. That last verse 18 of what we just read. Let's go on verse 19 as we finish these last few verses. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else that will cause your brother or sister to fall. You know, and I know there's kind of two ditches on the side of that road. Because on one hand, I can't do anything that somebody finds wrong or offensive. And on the other hand, I'm going to do anything I want. If the Bible doesn't have a, God didn't have a problem with it, I don't have a problem with it. Both of those are ditches. Because we need to walk our faith out. And the intention is, we don't want to do things that derail people's spiritual walk. There's people that disagree, and they're cool. They're like, you know what? This is my background, and I don't mow my lawn on Sunday, but I mow your lawn on Sunday. In fact, I'll lend you my mower. If you need to borrow a mower, I'm happy to lend you my mower. You see the difference? I can disagree with somebody and say, hey, not even disagree. It's my application of my faith. And so I'm okay with you doing it. And so you have to, through the Holy Spirit and through wisdom, discern which it is. Somebody can be so upset, you know, about something, and you want to be very careful in how you behave around them and what you talk about, because you don't want to derail their faith. You want to give them time to grow deep. You don't want to be somebody who's pulling them out of the ground, but you're allowing them to grow with the faith that they have and loving them, because you are no better than they are. We are all walking out of faith, our relationship with the Lord and our sanctification. Let's go on with verse 22 as we finish up chapter 14. So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who does not condemn himself by what he approves, but whoever has doubts is condemned if they eat, because their eating is not from faith. And everything that does not from faith is what? Sin. There's a huge principle here about what we do and what we don't do. That's what we're accountable to. If you believe something that the Bible doesn't say is right or wrong, mowing the yard or drinking alcohol, if you do those things that you believe as a believer you can't do, it's sin for you to do it. And so as we love our brother and sister, we need to be aware. And how do you become aware? It's just conversations and talking about those things. And if you love somebody, really, to err on the side of weakness is better than just to be bold and find out after you derail them. But to be sensitive about what they are. Try to understand and respect where people are coming from in their convictions. Both my parents came up in homes where alcohol was an issue. I've shared that before. My mom said that her dad would take their money and go and blow it all on alcohol. Their hard-earned money. And so my mom said that they had her mom and the kids, they would have to sell their eggs for them, the chicken, and get their own money and hide it to keep it from him, because his paycheck was gone. And so there's issues there for her that's like, you know what? I don't want anything to do with it. And so I need to be sensitive to that. And those of you who have all different kinds of backgrounds, be sensitive to that. To be loving and you know, there's things that we're going to tweak you, right? Y'all have things. You know, for me, I'll confess it. I have to be careful. Whatever it is, what it is. I have people who say that the King James Bible is the only one inspired Word of God. Because of verses like this, I said, you know what? I love that God was faithful in speaking the Word. And I'm so thankful that that translation, and it has been part of who we are as Christians. And I leave it at that. If they ask me how come I read the NIV or the NASB or New Living Translation, I can tell them. I could say, you know, because I can't read Hebrew. You know, and so I have to read a translation. Or I can't read Greek. But I believe, you know, as they study, like there's an idea that people are trying to communicate. And you're right, our translations are, none of them are perfect. And so that you can, I encourage you to read multiple translations in your English Bible, and then you kind of get a feel of it. And sometimes you'll see repeats. Wow, they say it the same way. Okay, they're pretty confident. Wow, this one says it different. It's another idea of it, because it deepens our understanding. But I don't want to judge, because guess what? In this world, a very small percentage of Christians read their Bible. So if my brother or sister is reading the King James Bible, I say, right on. He says, you're going and you're reading the Bible. I love that you're reading the Bible. I love that God's talking to you. I say, I love that you're smarter than me, because I can't understand the King James anymore. I can't understand it. But I want them to accept me as maybe the weaker brother who said, I'm sorry for you, Scott, but I understand now why you're not as spiritual to me and can read the King James. That we would all love each other, because we're all going the same direction. We're all following out of the Lord. I'll just close with this one quote. It was originally from an early church father, Thomas Aquinas, but it was adapted, and Amy Semple McPherson said it, the founder of the First Church, Four Square Church. In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. And in all things, charity. Charity, isn't that a great word for love? We translate currently that word, but I just think I had it explained to me that in the Greek, we all know that the Greek has like 5 different words for love, 4 of which are in the Bible, that there's different ways, but charity, think about that. It communicates just a grace, doesn't it? A charity that you're giving something. In all things, charity. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your word, Lord, that challenges our faith, Lord, that challenges how we treat each other, Lord, that challenges us to realize and think through why we believe what we do. Lord, are we convicted because of our experiences or our just personal understanding, walking out of our faith, or are we really standing on the ground based on what your word says and commands us to do or prohibits? Lord, I pray that we'd be a church, no matter what kind of things we choose to do, but that we would be doing something out of faith. Lord God, you say that unless we do things motivated by faith, it's sinful. Lord, because faith is believing that God, that you are righteous, believing that you are the source of our salvation. Lord, that you're the one who wants to bring wholeness to our lives and hearts. And as we apply that faith, we will choose to do different things. But I pray that we would be confident, that we'd know why we do what we do, so that we're ready to give the answer for the hope that's within us. When people ask, hey, how come you drink, or how come you don't drink, or how come you don't work on Sunday, or how come you don't have a problem working on Sunday, that we'd be ready to give an answer for those things that we're doing, because they would be out of faith, there'd be things that we thought through, and they would understand that God is big, that God is not a God of rules, but he's a God of faith. Lord, I thank you for our church. Lord, I pray that we would be challenged and encouraged in the things that we choose to do out of faith. In Jesus' name, amen.